Well, this morning, I want to look at the last of the series I've been talking with you guys. We're looking at our gold values, goodness, openness, love, and dynamic power. We've already done two. And particularly wanted to explore how the O of gold, the openness, the God's relationality, something that we hold really central in River, that God is a relational God, first and foremost. He's love. But how that unlocks the goodness of God, the love of God, and the dynamic power of God. So the title of this morning's talk is Powerful People. And again, I have fantastic slides which will really help you to visualize this, you know, a bit like balloons. But I'm afraid we can't do it. Just to remind ourselves, quick recap, our gold values are not something we necessarily talk about a lot, but that's something we weave into every part of life. We try and weave goodness, openness, love, and the power of God into everything that we are and do. So whether we're running a toddler group, or whether we're going to work in an IT office, or whether we're working down the hub, whatever we're doing, whether we're studying, we try and bring in these values and to live with them and clothe ourselves with them. In the first week, we're looking at the goodness of God. We reminded ourselves that God hates suffering, and that Jesus went around basically delivering people that were suffering. That was his ministry. When it was summed up in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it said he went around doing good and delivering all those oppressed by the devil. So we know that the whole of creation is moving towards a day when there's going to be no more pain. So suffering will end at some point. But in the meantime, we live in a world where actually it's a bit messy and there's a lot of suffering, which is not God's heart and not God's will. And it happens because of a rebellion, both in heaven and on earth. And so this world is not as it was supposed to be. Simple as that. And unless we know that, if we thought God had planned it that way, actually it causes us to doubt God's goodness. But because we know he hasn't planned it that way, gives us a freedom to actually, yeah, actually, you are good. Totally good. All the time, in every day, in every way. And when we know that, that encourages us, because then we know actually God hasn't planned trouble for us, but actually he planned good for us and wants to us, that emboldens us to go on an adventure with him. So we start to walk by faith, knowing that he's for us and looking to bring good through us. Second week we looked at love and had that wonderful quote from the General Theory of Love, a recent publication that psychologists are making amazing discoveries about the brain, the way it works and the way it develops, and even seeing how our brains continue to grow and as we move on, they don't stop growing, and how new connections can be made. And this wonderful quote which says, who we are and who we become depends in part on whom we love. It's by a guy called Thomas Lewis in A General Theory of Love. And I thought, that's really profound. And if we're honest, when we look at life, that's what we see. Who we are and who we become depends in part on who we love. And so, obviously in that for us, there's a great encouragement for us to love Jesus. The more we think about Jesus, the more we read about him, meditate on him, really get to grips with who he is, what he said and what he did, the more hopefully our hearts will be filled with love and admiration for him, which will result in us becoming more like him. That's the aim anyway. And we learned again that there are three big problems on the earth. We looked back at suffering. The earth is damaged and not as it should be. Spiritual forces oppose us. Men hurt one another. But actually God is with us and for us. And let's go back. And we ended up with, when we do have appreciation of God's love, actually that love compels us. That love compels us to love other people. Because we've received so much love ourselves, we can't keep it. We have to pass it on. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the love of God compels me. So, this week we're going to look at the D of gold, dynamic power, and see how the O combines with that to produce do. How knowing that God is open, knowing that God is relational, helps us to walk in authority, helps us to actually really partner with him and walk in power, which is a bit crazy and a bit scary, But it's true. And I hope to give us some encouragements. Because I think that God, one of the things that God wants to do is actually to release powerful people in this generation. And if you look around the world, that wherever people are encouraging one another to do this, the church is really, really growing. I have friends in Nepal and regularly see the sick healed, regularly see demons cast out. And actually the church is phenomenal. It's a revival going on there. Hundreds of churches being planted all the time. In fact, where I set up the training center out in Jiri, 30 years ago there were no churches. Now there are hundreds, which is why we needed a training center for church leaders. But that, you know, same with Bethel over in Redding, California. People travel from all over the world because actually they're moving in this stuff and people are hungry for it. So the Spirit of God is really releasing this around the world. So if you say, you know, I want to see what God is doing and join in with it, this is one of the things that God is doing. So let's really give ourselves, let's pay attention. Let's not try and do something else. Let's do what the Father's doing. So we know that God is dynamically, powerfully, and you reminded us this morning, Vicky, dynamically, powerfully, actively working in everything. The Bible tells us that. Which verse tells us that? Anyone remember off by heart? Sorry? It is Romans, yeah. Yeah, well done. Romans 8:28. You see, I don't know about you. You should be confident. I don't know about you guys, but you know, I love to carry scripture around with me. Not just carrying the paper Bible, but actually to carry it in my heart. Unless we carry it, it's hard to draw on. And if something means something to us, then let's live off it. Let's live off the good of it. And there's that wonderful verse. And obviously we know that's translated from a Greek version, the original Greek manuscript. And so it has different ways of being expressed. It's not obviously an easy passage to translate. If you look at the NIV, for example, it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." What are the thoughts that spring to mind when you hear that? God works for the good of those who love him. Is he only working for the good of those who love him? Because that sounds, you know, a bit partisan, and that, you know, if God is really the God of all men, then you'd expect him to be working for good in everything, not just for the good of those who love him. But when you understand the NIV and who commissioned the NIV, who translated it, they were all of a certain theological persuasion. They were all basically Calvinists. They believed that God had planned and ordained everything. So that fits with their theology. They translate it in a way which fits and backs up their theology, that God has planned these things and he's working for the good of those who love him. The New King James has a slightly different slant on it. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I like that better because it's more open. Those who choose to love God, it says, good things work for them. You know, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. So if you choose to love God, then you can expect things to work for good for you. It's slightly better because it's not God having planned it all and determined it all. There's our choices and freedoms come in. And it just, for me, seems better. But when you get to the Revised Standard Version, you see that a whole new power is released. It says, we know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Now that is something you can get your teeth into. That is something that you can really embrace. We know that in all things, God works for good with those who love him. Not for the good of those you love, but with those who love him. So he's including us now in God's plans and purposes for this world. But God has a huge desire to work good, a massive desire. He's keen, he's eager, he's impatient for his kingdom to come. But he's looking to work with people. And in a sense, he's limited himself to only work through people, which we'll come back to. And when you start to think about that, you think, hold on a minute, Colin. Who are we that we can work with God? God is infinite. God is ethereal. God is otherly. You know, he's transcendent. You can't see him, touch him, smell him. You know, I had a slide to show you of Arcturus, which is a sun thousands of times bigger than our sun. And God created that. So if you drew a picture of that and our sun, but like a little pea beside it somewhere, and then Jupiter would be one pixel, the Earth wouldn't be visible, and we'd be there. You know, how could we work with the God who made Arcturus? It just doesn't, it's mind-boggling. But we're going to look at how we do that. It's by understanding authority, receiving his love, and walking in faith. It's the same things we come back to again and again and again. You see, because God did give us authority. He gave the earth to us. Adam and Eve, he said, rule over it. It's yours. I give it to you as a gift. Subdue it. So when God does that, he can't just come in and do what he likes. You know, if parents buy their kids a home and said, I'll give you that home. If they were around the whole time telling the kids off and not putting their stuff away, telling them what they could and couldn't do, and dictating the kind of wallpaper or paint colours. The kids would probably walk out because it's not their home. That's what God has done for us. He's given us this earth. Now, we know that if we read a little bit further on in Genesis, we gave it away. We gave that authority away. We started to listen to someone else. And when you listen to someone else, basically they have authority over you. So that was the big issue, and that was one of the reasons that Jesus came. He came to actually redeem authority for us. He came as a man, so as a man, he could wrestle with Satan for authority back over the earth. He refused to listen to him. He chose to trust the Father, and in that way, he chose to work with God for his kingdom to come, because it was always God's plan that his kingdom would come through men and women on the earth, that the earth would be filled with love, with joy, with peace, good things. So Jesus came to put it back on track. So hence, in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So Jesus received it. It says in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, he's anointed me. He sent me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up broken hearts. He sent me to bring freedom to the captives. So in that sense, he was chosen, anointed, and sent out. He modeled it. He went around doing good and healing people. He gave that authority to his disciples. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He says, I give you authority. Let's quick read those verses. Let them impact our hearts as we read them, because he would say the same thing to us this morning. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Later on, chapter 10, he gives that same authority to the 72. Matthew 28 just takes that a step further. It says, the things that I've told you, the authority that I've given you, you now go and give away. So the kingdom of God comes as men and women agree with God and agree to work with him, to submit to his authority. See, authority only comes through submission. You cannot exercise authority unless you are submitted to authority, unless you're the highest authority. You know, if the chief of police in Englefield Green, well, I don't know whoever he might be, if he was rebellious and just doing what he liked, no one would listen to him. He can only exercise authority, only bring law and order to this place because he's submitted to a higher authority. The same is true with us. So the question is this morning, how submitted are we? If we're looking to bring God's authority, how submitted are we? Just a question. You see, because love has to be received, it has to be as a gift. We have to agree with God, we have to work with him in the ways that he's ordained. So, quality time, you know, we have to want it. God wants to spend time with us, but actually, if we don't want to spend time with him, he can't force his way into our lives. God wants to give us gifts. He may want to give us gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy, gifts of words of knowledge, as well as gifts of administrations and mercies and helps and all these other kind of gifts. But actually, if we don't want them, we'll never develop them. Touch must be wanted. Every parent, you know, knows that. And as a foster parent, we know this is really true. We may desire to love a foster child, but actually, unless they allow us to love them, we can't. So I like to hug. I like touch is one of my love languages, but actually I can't hug every foster child because they won't allow me. So, you know, you have to respect that. And God is like that. He respects our wills. Our words have to be valued. You know, what I say this morning, you know, you can choose to value it or not. If you value it, it may be a benefit to you, it may not, but if you don't value it, it certainly won't be of any benefit to you. Same is true with the words we read in the Bible. How highly do we value it? Lastly, the five love languages serve. Acts of services have to be appreciated. And the more we allow God to love us, we said last week, the more likely it is we'll love others. The more we receive those precious gifts that God has, the more value we place on them, the more we desire them, the more likely it is that we'll actually have an overflow, more than enough for ourselves, actually be living in something to give away. So the question is, are we allowing God to love us? You know, I love that phrase when Jesus looked over Jerusalem. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. I wanted to protect you. I wanted to hold you close, but you weren't willing. I couldn't do it." God wants us all to live in that amazing closeness, but we're not willing. So, but if we are willing, his request is that we receive his love and that we love the world through him. So we give others the tithe that we've received. We give gifts in his name. We touch people for him because he doesn't have hands and feet that are physical. We are his hands and feet. We bring the words of hope and life. We serve our communities. We serve the people around us in his name. We love the world for him. That's why we're called the body of Christ. But this all leads us up. If we're submitted to authority, receiving the abundance of his love, this leads us to walking in faith and walking with him to do the things he's asked us to do. We've already looked at in previous weeks, 2 Chronicles 16:19, where it talks about the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those in whom he can show himself strong. So God is looking to show himself strong through you and me today. It's like heaven is trying to burst into the world. The goodness of God is trying to burst into the world, looking for thin places, looking for places where heaven might touch earth, looking for places where God's will might be done. As you know, I also love Amos chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, "The Lord does nothing unless he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets." He's looking to do something, but he's looking for a man or woman of faith to do it through. So he reveals his will, speaks to us, and then stands back and waits us to see what we'll do with that. You know, just too often we have this simplistic view that we pray and that God does something. That's not that normal case. The normal case, that sometimes he does, but the normal case is we pray, we cry out, God speaks, we hear, and then we act on what God has spoken in faith. So Moses holds the stick out over the Red Sea, and then the waters part, because God says, do that, and the waters part. But if he doesn't do that, what happens? Nothing. The same with Naaman the Syrian. When he's looking to be healed of leprosy, God speaks, he's crying out to God, please heal me, goes to the prophet and asks for a healing. The prophet says, dip yourself in the water, I've heard from God, dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. If he does that, if he acts on the word in faith, the healing's released. If he doesn't do that, it's not released. And who knows, the waters in the Jordan do not cure leprosy. So what is it that cured the leprosy? It's the person responding in faith. Now, I'm not talking to you, this is not just intellectual stuff I'm talking to you. This is from experience for me. I've had a long, painful experience with seeing God's power released. And, we get to verses of John where it talks about you can ask whatever you like and the Father will do it. John 14 and 15. It says it 3 times. Jesus is really keen to push that message home. Ask whatever you like. Abide in me, live with me, live in intimacy with me, and you can ask whatever you like and I'll do it. And yet, sometimes we've tried that and it's not happened and then we give up. What this journey is for me is a journey of desire. I think you were talking, was it you? No, I'm glad you talked about the disappointments that can come. You started off on that ministry. Sometimes we can lose our first love. We can lose that flush of hope and excitement about the kingdom of God because actually we get some experiences which let us down. But the thing is, do we really want to see the kingdom of heaven come? Because the journey, the journey into the miraculous has been a journey of desire. I can't give up just because I've tried it once and it hasn't worked. I don't know. Have you ever watched anybody learn how to do a backflip? How many people have done a backflip the first time they've tried it? If they gave up because it didn't work, you might not go to see anybody do a backflip. The same is true with flying. You know, the Wright brothers learned to fly. And the reason that they got the breakthrough is because they were determined. They used to go out every night with an aircraft and spare parts and spend their hours after work trying to get this thing to fly. And they failed hundreds of times. But eventually, they got the breakthrough. You know, and why do we expect somehow or other spiritual things to be different from physical things? We try praying for the sick sometimes, or we try giving a prophetic word, or we try hearing God and giving a word of knowledge or something, and then we go, we're all fearful, we're all tentative, which we are, all of us, and maybe it doesn't work, maybe it works a little bit. We don't try. But actually, this is a journey of desire. And God gives us enough encouragements to keep pursuing it. You know, for me, it began. It began with headaches. Did I tell you this? I can't remember if I told you this recently or not. But it began with headaches. I was the best man at a wedding in Wales, and I got a headache. And I used to get really bad headaches regularly. And I thought I had to go and lie down and take some tablets. Otherwise, I would be sick, and that's not a very pretty sight at a wedding. But I was there and I had a good friend with me and he said, no, don't have to do that. Let's have a word with him upstairs. That was the words he used. So he prayed for me. This guy didn't have a healing ministry. I'd never seen him pray for anybody. In fact, I led him to the Lord. But he's then telling me, let's have a word with him upstairs. I thought, okay. So he prays for me. 10 minutes later, the headache's gone. I thought, oh, it works. I start then to, think, oh, well, maybe I can do that for myself when I get a headache. And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, I get a headache and I pray, and it goes 10 minutes after we prayed. I thought, this is just like taking tablets. This faith stuff really works. And then I'm exercising in Windsor with a team of guys. We used to do training together during lunchtimes. And we're on our way back, and this guy in the back, oh, I'm going to have to go home. I've got flashing lights. I'm going to get a migraine. I thought, can I pray for you, I say. My newfound faith And so he says, you know, I don't believe. I said, yeah, I know, but come on, I believe there's a God. Can I pray for you? He said, go on then. So there's five of us in the car, and I'm the only Christian. And I pray for this guy in the back, and 10 minutes later we arrive at our office in Slough. And he says, hey, that's amazing. The flashing lights have gone. My hope's gone. He said, that's never ever happened before. And I said, no, I did pray for you. He said, yeah, that's just a coincidence. But for me, you know, he obviously didn't get the significance of that. For me, I thought, no, it doesn't only just work for me, it works for other people too. So then I used to tell people, look, I pray for you now confidently, the headache will go. 10, 15 minutes, it will be gone. So yeah, my faith was growing. The same was true with infertility. I used to pray for folk who couldn't conceive. And, you know, I've told you stories probably before, but I never tire of telling them because they encourage me. So, you know, we're struggling to conceive ourselves. We go on holiday with good friends of mine from university, discover they've been trying to have children for about 8 years. We pray for them on holiday. They conceive on that holiday and have a baby boy 9 months later, and they call their miracle boy. A few months later after that, my wife's got good friends from her university days that are coming to see us. And this transpires, only she comes, their marriage is on the rocks, he's hit the bottle, he's drinking, he's depressed, that he's a family man, Irish guy, family man, just wants a family. They are struggling, their marriage is falling apart, she thinks he might leave her. They've had a couple of miscarriages and one stillbirth, and it transpires they've got some really bad congenital kind of problem that makes having kids very unlikely. So we pray for them. I hear nothing. She's just in tears. She's not a Christian. She's in tears. Send her back up to Cambridge. We hear 10 months later, she said, I have to phone you up and tell you, we've had a baby boy. Within 10 months. You know, so these days people come to us when they've got these kind of issues. Because we've had so many stories. In fact, just before Christmas, we had a couple come to us and said, look, we've been trying for a few years now, and we thought, well, you guys have a special anointing in this area. We come to get you to pray for us. So we prayed with them. Within 2 weeks, they fell pregnant. So, you know, it continues. But I tell you this just because, you know, this is a journey of desire for us. The question is, how much do we want it? It's not about methods. It's not about saying the right prayers. It's not about having the right theology. It's not about being the best kind of person we could possibly be. It's actually just being filled with that first love, that exuberant expectancy that the kingdom of heaven is going to come, and daring to believe it can come through me, and daring to believe that God wants to use me. And then being prepared to look stupid. Because the thing is, you do look stupid if nothing happens. But that journey has led me to a place where I've seen people healed in this country, I've seen people healed in America, I've seen people healed in Nepal, I've seen the lame come, take 6 hours to get to a meeting, walk home in an hour and a half. I've seen OCD leave someone when I prayed for them. I've seen depression leave people. I've seen anorexia leave immediately I prayed for someone. I've seen all kinds of, I saw arthritis go in five people in one night. And I've seen arthritis healed on the street. So I pray for people on the street. I say for people in churches. I pray for people in homes. And the kingdom of God comes. I wish I had more stories because it's not every day, not every week. This week, actually, I was in Newcastle. I prayed and one lady got freedom from, what's it called? The trapped nerve down the back of the leg. Sciatica. Yeah, she got freedom from sciatica. She's been carrying that pain for a few months. She said, as you prayed, it's gone. Another guy said, I had a pain in my foot, really bad pain, and I couldn't walk on it properly for a few weeks, but it's gone. This is, we pray tonight. So this is a journey of desire. Yeah, we have to persevere. We have to not let go of that first love, but not let past failures, past experiences dictate the future for us, but actually push through. And it's scary. Really is scary. But the thing is, guys, okay, God wants to release some of you into this whole thing. He's asking the question this morning, is there anybody in the room who's prepared to look stupid on a regular basis? Because I have. Pray for loads of people that haven't been healed. I've told you the stories that it has because it's uplifting and encourages me. So he's asking this morning, is there anybody out there who's prepared, who really wants this, who really wants to move in open, in dynamic power, knowing that God's will is for it. He's just not going to force it. He's waiting for us to act for him. He's waiting for the compassion in us to rise up to a point where we say, I've got to do something. I've got to pray for this person. And then just be obedient to whatever we think God is saying to do. So if there's anybody here that really is wanting to go on that adventure, really desiring it, you know, in a sense, everybody could stand up for this, but let's be honest. Who really, is anybody really desiring this? Anybody in this room? If you are, would you stand now? So it's not for everybody. The Bible says, do all people heal? Do all people prophesy? No. But eagerly desire the gifts, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. As I was praying this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit say, yeah, I should anoint you. So do you want to come down the front? I'll anoint you in this. I'm glad you're prepared to look stupid. Because honestly, and I just speak freedom over you in the name of Jesus. I just speak the love and the life of God over you to know that it's not about performance. It's not about looking good. It's not about succeeding or being successful. It's just about compassion. It's just about seeing the love of God break in through you. And God is determined to do that. He's promised to do that. So I want to encourage you and say, look, take steps to adventure in this, in these coming days and weeks. I'm anointing you with that same anointing that God has anointed me. And it's a fantastic, fantastic journey. Never tire of it. Oh, got some more oil there. What a proper anointing, not just a little dibble. Yes, you can come down, Richard. This is for anybody who really desires it. God says whoever desires it. Oh, I need a bit more there, Vicky, sorry. But, Father. Thank you. Yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you that your heart is to break into this world with... Yes, of course, Karen, I'm glad you did. I was hoping you were going to come forward. I saw it on you. I saw God's heart for you was to see his kingdom come. So, Father, I thank you that your word says that whoever desires it, whoever asks, receives. And these guys, Lord God, are asking for the privilege of looking stupid for you. And I say, give them that opportunity. Again and again and again. Just give them the opportunity, Lord God. And at the same time, fill their hearts with so much love it can't be contained. So much love for people that are in front of them that are hurting, that are bound up, that it has to find an expression. They have to bring the opportunity of you to do something wonderful. So I pray that you grant them that wonderful journey, that wonderful excitement of seeing your kingdom come. You take them on that journey of desire. Give them enough signs, enough encouragements, Lord God, to take them to another level, to another breakthrough, to another realm of glory. Let them see the lame walk. Let them see the deaf hear. Let them see the blind see. Oh, Lord Jesus. Speak to them, Lord Jesus. Help them to hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Father. Pray particularly for their hearts, Lord God, that you would guard them, and that what we've heard again and again this morning is that you want to release to us our first loves. I pray that these guys would know that exuberant excitement of their first love for you crashing into their hearts again in these days. I thank you that they're saying they refuse to be dictated to by past failures. They refuse to be dictated to by the past, but they're looking for an increase. They're looking for more of your kingdom to come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to prophesy over you guys that you are going to see breakthrough this year. Not next year, this year. As you step out, you're going to see breakthrough. And it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be unseemly. It doesn't have to make people feel uncomfortable. This is about love. So it works for people. You meet them where they're at. But God's going to give you opportunities to really demonstrate that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and I just see you walking in a different kind of way. I just see you enabled to bring people into the presence of the Father with confidence, not forcefully, not aggressively, but just with confidence. And as they do, they get touched by heaven and they get their needs met. So I just bless you with that ability. Thank you, Father, for Rachel's ability to bring people into the throne room where they receive the grace they need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Karen, just give away what you want to receive. What the pain you see in your own family, the things that you're looking for, give it away. Give it away. Pray for those that you see similarly in pain. Just look for opportunities just to speak to people about the love of Jesus, to declare God's goodness over them, to declare healing over their bodies. Words of life to them that brings hope to their hearts. So I just see you as a sign of the wonder. I just see you bringing, surprising a whole lot of people. God, because you joked earlier about being smitten. Yeah, you're going to be smitten, but it's not by anything that's going to hurt you. It's just the love of God completely capturing your heart. You're going to know the joy of God loving people through you powerfully, not just with arms and legs, but powerfully with your spirit and seeing people really released. Thank you, Jesus. It's God lifting their burdens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Vicky, that thing about breaking off disappointments, I see you doing that for God, doing that for you. I see God doing that, but I also see you doing that for a lot of people in these days. A lot of people. You are going to be like that torch set on fire, that when others come into the contact with, they're going to be set on fire. This is a different day. This is a new day. It's a new day, and the old is gone. The new has come. Thank you, Jesus. So as you are prepared to look stupid in these days and really just declare God's love for people, and God wants you to be bold and speak out what you think his will is, speak it out, and just watch God catch your words. God is going to catch your words just like he did Samuel's. God, let none of his words fall to the ground. Thank you, Jesus. So whenever you feel that compassion rise in your heart, you know that God is doing something. You know that God is doing something. And you can be bold about that. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this lady. Thank you, Father. Bless her work. Thank you, Jesus. And Pete, I just see God giving you a sword. I give you a sharp edge. And there's a sharpness coming to your words. There's a sharpness coming to some of the things that you say and declare in the name of Jesus. It's going to cut people free from things that have held them back and entangled them. So whenever you see someone tangled up, you know you have the authority to cut them free. And God's going to give you those razor sharp words. Razor sharp words. Thank you, Father. Keep us looking, looking, looking. Yeah, thank you for Richard too, Lord God. Anoint him by your spirit. Let your kingdom come through him, Lord Jesus. Let heaven break in through this man. Let peace come as he prays. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.